Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New beginnings is not just for the young. How many times did we say that? Amen. It is not just for the young. Kind of reminds me of, I'm hearing a background, could you please mute your mics or I will mute all the mics. I'm hearing a background noise and all of the listeners can hear that. If you could, I'd appreciate if you would do just that and mute your mics. Thank you so much. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And before we start anything, I would like to say Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Amen. All we can do is just thank God for another day that He's allowing us to be here. When I think about New Year's, I think about Isaiah. And when it says, even youth shall grow tired and weary, and young men shall stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. We just, all we can do is just bask in our glory of thanking God for another year. Amen. Another year. This evening, we'd like to let you know that for those who are tuning in by internet, we are an interactive Bible study. And what does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of being able to call in and participate. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, we would connect you. For those of you, once again, who are listening, please, I have all the mics open. So if you could, please pop your source of mic that you're listening to, if you could mute it. And then when you get ready to talk, you can just go ahead and just come on. But I'm going to keep all the mics open as we go out throughout this evening. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I see so many folks online, and it's so good to see so many numbers on this evening, so from so many different places. We thank you for being a part of this evening on the first day of the new year. Amen. That is a blessing. You are a blessing, and we'd like to thank you for being a part of that. As we move forward on our prayer list, we have those who are asking for prayer. That's Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee, Amber Ben Haley from out of South Carolina, Bill from out of Cleveland, Tina from out of Maryland, Katrina from out of Maryland, Corey from out of North Carolina, Sean from out of West Virginia. We have Cornell from out of Cleveland, Bradley family out of Texas, and we are also praying for Pastor Nixon, who is going to be elevated this year and who is a regular speaker on our line, and we're going to add her in our prayer list. Amen. That God would just not only elevate her in the church, but He would elevate her spiritually as she continues to do the work of the Lord. I'm going to ask, I believe I see Pastor Miles, are you there? Amen, 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 amen. Dr. Davis, are you there? Okay, I see all of these numbers here.
This is Miles, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Would you, I was actually sending you a text.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Yeah, I was actually sending you a message. I apologize. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, we thank you for a new year. Lord, we thank you that you have allowed us to give this wheel a spin called life one more time. Lord, we thank you for life, health, and strength, and we thank you for the meeting on tonight. Lord, we ask that a special blessing come upon those who've asked for prayer on tonight, Father.
Yes.
Lord, you know what they stand in need of. We don't necessarily know what they stand in need of, but you do. And Lord, we want to supplement and touch and agree one with another that whatever they stand in need of right now, that you get the glory, honor, and the praise. Oh, Father, there
yes.
are many things going on tonight. There are many things going on in this world. And Lord, the devil seeks fit to have his way. But we know that you are God and you are God of control. Let us not be
yes.
weary. Let us not walk thinking that you are not a God that can't handle and don't know what's going on, because you do. And Lord, as we come forth, let the word that comes deposit on a deep part of our spirit, man. Lord, let us eat it up. Let us digest it and let us live it out so that we can give you the glory, honor, and praise that your name rightfully deserves. Lord, we thank you for the blood that Jesus has shed for us on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. Let us understand that since we accepted Christ, we are the righteousness of God. No matter what comes our way, no weapon formed against us shall prosper because we are not on the winning side. We are on the side that has already won. We're just waiting for it to play out. And, Lord, we ask you this. We ask you to hear our prayer. And if anything that's inside of us that's not like you, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus to remove it. Lord, we ask that we go forth. And when it's our time to answer for your call, and we have to take our sword and stick it in the sand called time, that you will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for that response. We're going to move on, and as we move on, I want this, again, to be an interactive study for all those who are online. You know, if you would participate once we go through the text. Our topic for this evening is God's vision for your 2020 experience. God's vision for your 2020 experience. And we're coming from Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. That's Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. And the word reads as such. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away from your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into a place whence I cause you to be carried away captive. Now, in this topic, I just want to go into a historical view to talk about Jeremiah before we get into what the scripture is saying and how do we tie this in to today. Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah, and Hilkiah was a priest of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. During this time, it was not certain whether Jeremiah was a priest or not. If he was, I did not see that in the readings. Jeremiah was not married when he was called to be a prophet. In fact, he was forbidden to marry. And in Jeremiah 16, 1 and 4, when you look at that, the reason he was forbidden to marry was because men, the sons were fathers of their fathers. Everybody was doing everything and anything during that time, and there was molestation. There was so much going on during that time that Jeremiah, because of what God had planned for him, he was forbidden to marry. And since he was so young, it was customary to marry in their late teens. Now, Jeremiah was probably under 20 years of age, and today, if we equate that to today, he would be considered a millennial. When called in the 13th year of his reign, he was in Hosea. Now, the writing is never told how Jeremiah earned his livelihood. It is unlikely that during this time his preaching would have resulted in probably some type of collection plate being passed. Possibly. It doesn't say that. Perhaps those who agreed with the message provided some type of physical need for him during this time when he was preaching. But as we move on, nevertheless, which all of this would probably be minimized in terms of whether he was paid or not. But when we look at it in terms of it doesn't say what he was doing, one would question what his job was. See, because on the other hand, there was independent financial resources because he was able to purchase land of a relative when it was offered to him. And if you look at Jeremiah 32:9, you would see in terms of where he was about ready to purchase the land, and he paid for it right then and there. Now, on an elevation of Jeremiah by more of the standard, when we look at Jeremiah, in doing his standards, and we would look at his success during that time, we would brand him probably as a failure. We would probably brand him as a failure. And it goes on to say, he preached for 40 years. And he preached for 40 years without convincing the people that he was God's prophet. So anytime that you are doing something or you're going preaching for that long and you don't have any fruit, or you're not preaching and you're not bringing those forth, then in the eyes of the public, you would probably be considered looked at as abysmal failure. Why? Because he could not draw people to the Word of God. And not only that, he was threatened, he was ridiculed, and physically abused by his own people in Jerusalem. And finally, destroyed. Judah ceased to exist as a nation because the people refused to accept Jeremiah's remedy to deliverance. Turn back, turn back, turn back, and submit to the Babylonians. He wanted them to turn from their wicked ways, and no one would listen. No one heard him during that time. Now imagine, here it is, we know that here it is that he was called at a young age. God had prepared him at a young age, but during that time he was going through that measuring part of it, he was not able to get anyone to turn from their ways. Now, one of the beautiful things about Jeremiah is we would measure him by a stick which judges a person's life, okay? His obedience to God, he had a sincere obedience to God. Then Jeremiah obeyed him. He obeyed him by proclaiming his message no matter what. It didn't make a difference what the people were going through. He chose to be obedient and proclaim the word of God. Jeremiah obeyed him. He obeyed him by proclaiming the message. Jeremiah was not responsible for the favorable response or the lack of response. One who is considered an obedient servant of the Lord today is not held accountable for the lack of response for those who do not hear the message. For those that do not hear the message. Brothers and sisters, we're at a time right now where we are called to proclaim the gospel even when they do not want to hear it. We are accountable to proclaim the gospel, to tell others about Jesus Christ, and to turn from their ways. To turn from their ways. And in today's day, I wonder, are people hearing the word of God? You look at churches today, the smaller churches, I don't know about the larger churches, but the smaller churches, and they're becoming smaller and smaller. The parishioners there, the numbers are low. Now, I would think at a time like this that the churches would overflow. Why does it have to be a time when there is a catastrophe, when the churches are full, when the people come running and pleading to the Lord? Does it have to be at that point where when everything is not looking favorable, when there is fear of what the future may hold, that we tend to fill the churches? and come running to God. Here it is, Jeremiah was a time, this was a time where everyone was, had turned their back on God. They had turned their back on God. Now let's look at the scripture and let's look at this and just kind of break it down. Then they, and that's the three things that I want you to look at. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. Three things I want you to look at. Calling upon the Lord, praying unto me, prayer, and seeking me and find me. Three things. Calling upon the Lord, pray unto me, seeking me and finding me. Three things that I want to focus on as we look at this scripture. And as we read the scripture again, it reads as such. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. When ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found, and you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, when we look at this, Jeremiah, when we look at that in terms of calling upon the Lord, when we're calling upon the Lord, we're moving into the year of 2020.
Amen.
And this is a new year, a new beginning.
Amen.
What is going to be our attitude? What is going to be our belief as we walk into a new year? Now here it's saying in this scripture, it says, pray unto me. And in order for you to pray unto me, you have to have a relationship with Christ. You have to have a relationship with Christ. Because when you have a relationship with someone, let's just take it in terms of human form, when you have a relationship, a positive relationship with someone, then you believe in them. You believe in them. So when I see it says, call upon me, you're not going to call upon someone that you don't believe in. If you don't believe that that person is going to come to your rescue, you're not going to call them for help. Call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. So to me, I look at that in terms of you have to believe that God is who he says he is.
Amen.
You have to believe that he is the God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one that we wake up to every morning and just greet. Believe. So if you're going to call on to me, then you have to believe that I am that I am. And then it goes on to say that you shall go and pray unto me. You shall go and pray unto me. So believing and having that relationship, when you believe that God is the God who says he is, then he said, pray unto me. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. When there is a catastrophe, we pray. But here's the flip side. Do we pray when everything is okay?
Mm.
When there are no problems?
Mm.
When everything is peaceful, everything is going right.
All
right. Do we pray? The power of prayer. And here, it's Jeremiah is telling them, that he's saying, pray unto me. Pray unto me. Pray unto God. Submit your prayers to the one that you believe in. Do not forget that God is the one who is the created. He is the creator. He is the one that came on the cross so that we might have life. We were condemned. We were condemned. And now we've been saved. Pray unto me. My brothers, my sisters, when you have a problem, pray. Come unto me and pray. When things are going right, pray. Or should I just say, in all things, we should pray.
Amen.
Whatever the circumstances is, we should pray. And that's when I look at that, it says, call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me. And then when it says, when you pray unto me, and you're obedient, I know that we have a relationship. I know if we have a relationship, guess what? I'm going to hear you. Why? Because we have a relationship. You and I, we got a thing going on. We got a one-on-one relationship going on. We got a me and you thing going on. A relationship. So because we have a relationship, I'm going to hear you.
Amen.
Because of your obedience. Because of who you are. Because of who we are. I'm going to hear. It says, I will hearken unto you. Hearken. I will hear you. And then it goes on to say, ye shall seek me and find me.
Amen.
Have you ever seen that situation where it's, what is that? It's hide and seek?
Hide and go seek.
Hide and go seek. Hide and go seek. When there's hide and go seek, you're going out and you're trying to find the person, but they're hiding. You don't know where they are. You got to search. You got to keep looking. And sometimes you may not be successful. But he's saying here, my brothers and my sisters, he's saying, call upon me. Believe in me. Call upon me. And then once you call upon me, then listen, I'm saying call upon me. I'm talking about the mental side. Believing. That God is who he is. And that's what, once we open our mouth and we utter words to our Father, pray unto me. And he's saying, I will hear you. And he said, and once I hear you, when I hear you, then you will, then I'm going to respond. You're going to find me. Because I know that you're looking for me. I know that you are, that there's trouble. I know that something's going on, and I need to come and see about you. Ye shall seek and find me. And it goes on, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. That's key, with all of your heart.
Amen.
How often do we pray unto our Father with all of our heart? It's almost like I can equate that to today is like going to knock on someone's door. You know that they're home. You're going to knock on the door. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. But guess what? They may be in the back room and they may not hear you. And you may end up leaving because you think that they don't want to let you in. But it may be because they just didn't hear you. You didn't knock long enough. You didn't pray long enough. I'm not going to get into that. Knocking. Keep knocking with all of your heart. I know that you're there. Let me keep knocking. Wait, maybe one of these knocks may catch your attention. Maybe one of these knocks may stop you from whatever it is that you're doing, and you may hearken unto that knock. You may hear it, and then you will come and open the door. and invite me in. You shall search for me with all your heart. And then it goes on to say in 14, I will be found of you, said the Lord. That sounds like a promise to me, a guarantee. I will be found of you, said the Lord. You're going to find me. You're not going to be searching for me and searching and searching and not find me. He's giving us prescription here. Follow this prescription and you'll find me. Follow this prescription and you will find me. Follow the clues. Follow the clues and you will find me. I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and the places whither I have driven you. I will turn away your captivity, meaning that I'm going to come and pull you out of whatever you are in, whatever is captivating you, whatever is holding you down, whatever is preventing you from getting to me. I'm going to come and release you. I'm going to release you. I'm going to set you free. Why? Because you followed the prescription. You believed in me. You prayed unto me with all of your heart. You really were seeking for me. You were seeking for me. You were really looking for me. It's not just a routine thing that you're doing, but you're doing it with all of your heart. You know how they say, what they say is that God looks at our heart. He doesn't look at what we do, but God looks at our heart. That's a place that man can never, ever see. God looks at our heart. Intentional. And I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away you from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places which I have driven you, said the Lord. I will come, and it does not make a difference who has captivated you. How large that spirit that's holding you down, how big that spirit is that is pulled you down or trying to pull you down further, it doesn't make a difference how many they are. I will come and I will rescue you.
Amen.
I have found you, said the Lord, and I will turn you away from your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places which whether I have driven you, said the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big God.
Coming home. Amen.
Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, it says, I will bring you again into a place. Bring you again. Again means that you've already been there.
Hey. Hey. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just got lost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just forgot your way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just forgot the prescription. I will bring you again to the place which I has caused you to be carried away captive. I'm going to come back and bring you home. I'm going to bring you back to where you belong. My brother, my sister, it doesn't make a difference what you're going through in this year, the beginning of this year. God took a young man like Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
Who was abused,
mm-hmm.
who they looked at as a failure because of his preaching, made a mockery of, a young man trying to tell a nation not to turn their backs on God.
took a young man and made a difference. So if God can do that with this young man, imagine what he can do with you. Imagine what he can do with me. When we follow the prescription. And as I said, there were three things that I wanted to focus on. First of all, believing that he is a God who he says he is, believing that he is the God of all gods, that he is the King of all kings, that when we pray, that we believe that he's going to answer. In Genesis 15, it goes on, it says, and after all these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And you know what he told Abraham? He said, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I am your reward. Your reward shall be, not great, but your reward shall be very great. Spoke to Abraham, believe. Understand, you don't fear anything. I am your shield. Don't worry, I will fight your battles for you. I will reward you. Not you're going to reward me, not you're going to build me a house, but I will reward you. And then it goes on to say, receive. Receive. Seek me and find me. There's a scripture in Matthew 7, 7, and 8, and it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. Seeking for the Lord. I'm going to open up the mics and ask for any comments.
God bless. How you doing? This is Miles. You have hit on so much on tonight. And just the latter part of what you said, there's so many things I've written down that I want to share, if I may. You talked about Jeremiah, you know, being viewed as a failure and how he actually he complained a lot. He's my favorite character in the Bible outside of Jesus. When he was actually put down and looked at, people laughed at him. And for those of you who are Bible scholars who want to know where that's actually located, read the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. Read the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and actually really start at verse, you can read the whole chapter, but start at verse 7. And when you get to verse 9, you will actually see that verse 9 is a very familiar passage of scripture. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name, but his word as a burning fire shut up in my bones. But if you read, start at verse 7, you'll see people laughed at him.
Mm-hmm.
People laughed at that teenage boy. And they laughed at him real bad, just like you got many children today who may be in grade school or middle school, and they proclaiming God, and they getting laughed at. You know, and I can relate to Jeremiah because I'm a PK myself. And I call him my third grandfather, and boy, I got picked on and laughed at in the whole nine, but you're on the side that's already won. And another thing I want to touch on, if I may, where you spoke about the smaller churches getting smaller. And it's been my experience, the reason why the small churches are getting smaller, because a lot of the smaller churches, they're preaching the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know where you at in the land and country, people who are listening, but here in New Jersey, a lot of these small churches are getting smaller because the preachers are preaching the gospel. A lot of people don't want to hear sound preaching. They want to hear
that
sugarcoated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear that sugarcoated stuff. I'm not going to call a name, But there's a mega preacher who preach heavily, heavily against homosexuality. Heavily, but then when that knocked on their door, then they changed their stance. When it hit their family, then they changed their stance. So, and then they started, you know, preaching the gospel of Dollar Bill, preaching good mind signs. So, and I was listening to Bishop Larry D. Palmer out of Waldorf, Maryland, a CD that he had preached on a Labor Day weekend. He came out of Matthew 7. See, broad is the way to destruction, the broad way. So whenever a whole bunch of people are going to a certain place, you better watch that.
That's right.
So I just want. So I'm honest with you. I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm gonna say it this way. I'm scared of these mega churches with all these people in, because see, I want my pastor to know me. I want my pastor to know me, because doesn't the Bible say, in Scripture, that the pastor knows each of his sheep by name? So you're going to tell me all of it? Shut up, Reggie. God bless. Have a good night.
Any other comments? I have a lot of members online. The mics are open. All you have to do is just talk.
These are good instructions for us to move forward. And 2019 may have been, you know, people are saying, I'm so glad 2019 is over for us. The family, 2019 was challenging. But you have to look at, like we say, speak life. And we have to look back at all the Lord has brought us through and how he continues to bless us and how he was merciful and gracious with us, even though there was adversity during the year. That he still was present and his hand was obvious. And it's obvious when we go back and we rehearse his memory and like I say, look at his resume. So going into 2020, the reminder that I like the way that you simplify the instructions for us as we go into 2020, that to call upon the Lord, simply call upon the Lord, to pray to the Lord and to seek him, and we'll find him. And I really especially like how you put it, that that the more you seek him, the more you understand him, and you'll find him.
Amen.
You'll find him. It's not like a puzzle. It's not a mystery. A mystery in that he's hidden from us. Is that when you are open to find him, you will find him. You find what you're looking for, in other words. You'll find what you're looking for. So if you're praying and you're asking the Lord for a relationship and to simplify the gospel, sometimes we just, you know, can't believe, and even if you've been saved for a while, you know, can't believe that it's so simple, that the word and salvation is so simple, that all I have to do is ask, all I have to do is seek. But it is. But it is.
Amen.
He wasn't trying to fool us. The enemy fools you. The enemy deceives. But Jesus saves.
Amen.
And it's clear and plain in the way that he ministers to us and reaches out to us. I like the piece in Jeremiah, like Jeremiah 29, because even if we read the whole chapter of 29, how the instructions are basically to bloom where you're planted. To build, bloom where you're planted, to receive, and to continuously to nurture your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Nurture your relationship with Christ all through the building and the planting, all through the you know, throughout it. As you multiply, the generations come, that we're faithful to nurture our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Any other comments? Remember, we are an interactive Bible study, and you don't have to remain silent. We're all a family, and it's like sitting around the table, and we're just feasting on the word of God. And, you know, if it's good to you and it's something that you want to share, you know, a part of what you've eaten and you want to share it, it's all good. It's all good.
Amen.
Amen. Any other comments? 631s, 843s, 803s.
Amen. This is Miles again, and I like another thing that you had put about when I think that piggyback off of something that was said on I think it was the day before Thanksgiving. You know, do you pray when everything's all right with you? You know, mm-hmm. many of us want to know. I mean, it's natural of us as people when things are wrong. We want to go to seek that help. But when you actually plant good seed, you know, when things are right, you know, giving thanks and things of that nature. Maybe it'll help you going forward to escape some type of calamity going forward. No, I mean, I don't know it. I don't have any scripture behind that, but I mean, just in me thinking, I mean, you're praying to God and you're giving him thanksgiving and everything is well with you and you're appreciating what he's already done. And I try to, I'm just thinking of this as a human man. I remember times I talked to my father, I said, Daddy, no. Well, thank you for certain things, and you know, I'll see the smile on his face and it'll make him happy. I don't know if that got me anywhere with him. I think it did. But now I'm thinking, I remember when I first moved into a house with my family, and I think my youngest son, I think maybe he was like in third grade. I don't even think he was that old. No, he was like first or second grade. And the PSE&G bill, electricity bill, when I moved into the house, it was $500. And I was upset behind that thing. I think I said told the story before. And I went on and I paid the bill. And he said to me, he said, Daddy, thank you for paying the light bill and keeping the heat on. Because I can really see to do this homework and I'm nice and warm. So I know what it did to me. So just imagine what we'd do if we prayed to our father and what Daddy would do for us. No, I don't have any scripture to really to back it up. Maybe that'd give me a good research material to look for. But I just think that he would really honor that and tell the devil, you know, you got to step back on this one because the devil can only do what God allows him to do.
Amen.
So I mean, that's just a thought of mine that I'm going to look into that tonight. Thank you. And God bless you for that.
Yeah. What I would piggyback off of that is when I think about that, I think about in Thessalonians, in First Thessalonians, and it talks about giving thanks in everything. Giving thanks in everything, and interpreting that is giving thanks in every circumstance, whatever the circumstances are, that we're supposed to give thanks. This is the will of Jesus Christ. That's his will, that we are to give thanks in season as well as out of season.
Even in adversity.
Whatever you're going through, even if things are at its best, at its highest peak, we still give thanks.
Amen.
The power of Thanksgiving.
Even in adversity.
That's the thing. and you're right about the Reverend Sister Doctor. It does irritate them. But you know how long it takes? You know how long it takes to get to that level? I mean, think about it. No, we're going through something. I mean, we are physically going through something, and we supposed to, you know, be thankful for that. You know, I mean,
Amen.
You know, hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I heard someone as well. That's why I said hello. I stopped.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, man, and see, I mean, think about it. You know, you're going through this hardship, and you're supposed to be thankful. You know, you're supposed to give thanks not thankful for the hardship, but you got to be thankful at that time. I don't know too many people that want to go through that and say, I'm going to give thanks right now, because I'm going to be honest with you. You know, over the past, you know, years or two, you know, I've been through something. I've been very candid, very open with the people who are here. You know, it was hard. It was hard to try to say, you know, I'm going to be thankful, but I had to trust in God. So If you're out there struggling with that, you know, it's hard, but you got to be thankful. As Reverend Sister Doc, you're right, even through adversity. And it's going to be rough on you. But that victory is going to help you to grow. It really will.
Amen. Amen.
Someone want to comment off of that?
Yeah, that's because the Word of God tells us, God bless you all. Happy New Year. The Word
Happy
of God
New
tells
Year.
Us, Happy
New
Year.
Year.
Word of God tells us to be give thanks in all things, right? That's what he says.
Yes.
And it's difficult, too, but, you know, at the end of the day, we still have to do what the Scripture said. He said, you know, that is his will concerning us. That's what it said. And it's hard. I know. I'm a candidate, and I know, got the T-shirt, and still in the journey.
Amen.
Giving God thanks when we're between a rock and a hard place, or we've lost a loved one, and you know it's difficult. But God, Father knows best. Father knows best.
I agree,
Pastor.
I want to say that we are encouragers of one another. We are encouragers of one another. And what does that mean? That means that that's why we read the Word of God. That's why we study the Word of God. Because the more that you eat of something, the more that you study of something, it becomes almost you. And it's almost like a mindset that whatever that you're going through, you know that God is the creator of all things. He created time. So the time that we're looking at and the time that God is looking at is totally different. So whatever that we are going through, that's why we are encouraging one another. You know, that's why it says,
encourage one another.
On the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, in Isaiah, it says, wait on the Lord. It says that you're going to get weary. And it says, but when you get weary, and you begin to start to stumble, and you may feel like you're about ready to fall, that is normal. But it goes on to say, but those who wait on the Lord and their hope, that they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That key there is wait. Those that wait on the Lord. And see, because we are in the flesh, and that goes with each and every one of us, it's easy to say, but those that are in it, we sometimes we begin to say, Lord, how long? I can imagine when Jeremiah, as young as he was, trying to tell a nation to turn from their wicked ways, to turn from their ways. I can imagine him, as young as he is, them laughing at him, making a mockery of him. Lord, how long? But see, God knew you. He knew me from the very beginning. He knew when we was in our mother's womb. He knew what we was going to go through. He knew that we may feel like stumbling and falling. But he also knew that as long as we continue to stay close to him, that he's always going to give us what we need. Might not be what we want, but he's going to give us what we need. And he's going to provide us little by little. And the more that he begins to start to provide for you and I, the stronger we become. And then to the point where we felt like we was weak, now we're strong. Now we can get up and run. I know without a shadow of a doubt that that's what we all go through. I used to always say it's just a test. It's just a test that we're going through. See, because this life that we're here, it's for a purpose, and we all have a different purpose. We all have a different walk, but our different journey. But God is always going to be with us. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll be with you. Even when things don't feel like they're going to turn out, trust me. And that's when you begin to start to draw nearer to God, closer to God. And that's where that transformation begins to start to take place. Not my will, but thy will, Lord. And I know it's easy to say.
No, but
if
God
would not have us go through this, he would never have us go through this to fail. Would not. That's a guarantee. That's why the word of God is so important. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I'm thinking a lamp on my feet, that means I'm in a dark area. And if I'm in a dark area, if I'm walking, that means I might not know which way to go. I can't see. But God is saying, I'm a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, meaning I'm going to light it up so that you know the way. Follow the prescription. I give you the prescription. Follow it.
Amen.
If it's a daily dose, take a daily dose.
Amen.
If it's a double dose, take a double dose.
Amen.
Whatever the prescription is, follow it. Don't divert. Don't divert. It's a renewing of the mind. We become stronger mentally. We become stronger mentally. The more that we lean on God before you know it, we don't even realize it. We stretched out. And God is carrying us.
And you know what's so wonderful about the Lord? What's so marvelous about God? He and so mindful that when we're going through and it seems like we're all alone and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he says that, you know, he'll send someone like Pastor Rose to give me a word, Elder John to give me a word, Dr. Suzanne to text me. And I remember she used to text me those things, and it would be right on time, those words. And you know what? That's God. That's God using his people to come where she is, come where Edna is, and call her up. And Elder John, you know this. I was just thinking about you. How are you today? That's God. That's God showing himself mindful and loving and mighty. When I feel that, Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord? Don't you hear me? And then the phone would ring. And or a text would come. And that text and whatever needs to be said lifts my spirit. Yay, Shanda. Lifts my spirit and it helps me to go a little further. God is a wonder. And I myself thank God for his mindfulness and his loving care, using his people to see about his people. That's good.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Using his people to see about his people. Because never. When I feel like I'm in the dark, here comes that word of life through my sister or my brother. Ah,
praise the Lord.
God using them.
Praise the Lord.
Bearing the infirmities of my weakness. Ah, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God
Hallelujah.
Is good.
Amen.
My God to me. Hallelujah.
Each and every one of you that have been listening, we do thank you for coming and sitting at the table and feeding on the Word of God with us. All we're doing is just sitting down and encouraging one another. It doesn't make a difference what state you're in. It doesn't make a difference what circumstance you're in. We're all a part of the body of Christ. And if we are part of the body of Christ, God knows how to take care of his own. And if we go through 2020, just please remember, if God is for you,
who can be against you?
Amen.
We're going to close now. Remember, we
and
love
may
you.
May I just say
God
this?
Loves you. Thank you, each one of your comments.
Okay.